This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, the 32nd annual Grain Millers Harvest Showdown in Yorkton is less than 2 weeks away, and some very important entry deadlines are coming up very soon. We'll speak with Kathy Pearson, who is the chair of the Commercial Grain Show, the Pedigreed Seed Show, and the Forage Show. As you may have heard yesterday, grain and oilseed prices are at record or near record levels due to strong demand and lower supply due to drought. We'll catch up with Alan Johnston from Johnston's Grain Marketing in Welwyn about prices. Soil moisture is still described as very dry in many parts of the Saskatchewan Grain Belt. We'll hear from Provincial Crops Extension Specialist Matt Struthers about the need for more moisture in November. And officials with Red Leaf Pulp are happy with the farm response to public meetings on the proposed $350 million straw-based pulp mill in Regina. We'll hear from their Director of Fiber Procurement, Joe Hintz. All that and much more on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Sean Prohitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, it's quite sunny here in the Yorkton area today, but our temperatures are not matching that sunshine right now.
No, it's a southeasterly wind, which in itself is not that cold. It's, you know, very often a warm wind, but the position of the weather features is limiting that. The high pressure that's our current air mass is sitting right along the border, southern Manitoba, maybe northern North Dakota, somewhere in that zone. But the flow around it is sitting ahead of a warm front. That front is set up right now from eastern Montana back through the southwestern corner of Saskatchewan, lifting slowly northeastward. It's running up against that high. It's not having too much luck, and it's also bringing some cloud cover. We've got sunshine. We've also got a little bit of cloud cover mixed in through the afternoon. I'm not too concerned with the showers holding together, reaching the ground, but there'll be at the very least some extra cloudiness through the day. Temperature, though, because we're on the cool side of that front, around 5, the front gets closer, but what we don't really get is a decided push of that warm air. The front is sort of going to wash out in place. It'll get a little farther eastward. It'll likely make it across central Saskatchewan by later on tomorrow, but it's just not going to get farther than that. This two things happening. The surface high is strong, and it's going to expand a little bit to the east. It moves. It gets away from its current position, which allows the front to move, but it doesn't get far enough. And then a fairly deep upper low develops over, looks like eastern Ontario, maybe almost into Quebec, but it's just a very sprawling system. It's going to draw cool air southward, so it'll block the front a little bit more. It'll block that warmer air, and as we've been watching, it'll allow that gusty wind that we've been talking about heading into this weekend. Temperature tonight, mainly clear sky, -6. Tomorrow, the sunshine, we're at 6 on the plus side. The wind drops off tonight, but tomorrow picks back up east to southeast, 15 to 25. The wind will continue from the southeast. That high not really going far, and that front staying where it is will not allow the wind to shift. It stays bringing in that average air. It also brings in the cloud cover as the front does slowly stack up toward us, clouding up later Saturday. High 7th, the wind Saturday afternoon, 25 to 45, likely some higher gusts. And that wind is going to remain at that strength, likely, through Sunday, Monday, and finally settle that down on Tuesday, though the pattern itself is still rather unsettled, and longer term we'll likely be dealing with cool and breezy conditions right through next week. But at the very least, we first have to get through some precipitation Saturday night into Sunday, a couple of rain or wet snow showers. It is cool. We're at 4 degrees on Sunday. I think rain is favored, but certainly cool enough that some wet snow could mix in. Partly sunny on Monday with a high up to around 8.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour. The Paw is at 2 degrees, Swan River 4, Dauphin 5, Brandon, Shoal Lake, Russell, and Roblin 3. Regina is at 3, Saskatoon, Hudson Bay, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, all reporting in at 4. The Yorkton-Melville region has a mainly sunny sky, a south-southeast wind at 17 kilometers an hour. 68% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 3 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of 5 degrees and dropped to a low of minus 8 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is 7 degrees. The normal low is minus 4 degrees. The sun rose in Yorkton at 7:24 this morning, and it will set at 5:45 this afternoon. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was a tie between Oak Point Marine and Kleefeld, which both got up to plus 7 degrees. The cold spot was Lynn Lake at minus 9 degrees. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Maple Creek at plus 13 degrees. The cold spot Indian Head at minus 11 degrees. And that's a look at your agriculture weather. Please stay tuned. GX and Agriculture will return right after these messages.
Or,
welcome back to GX and Agriculture. The 32nd annual Grain Millers Harvest Showdown in Yorkton is less than 2 weeks away. It runs from November 3rd to the 6th at the Gallagher Center. Kathy Pearson is the chair of the Commercial Grain Show, the Pedigreed Seed Show, and the Forage Show. She says entry deadlines are coming up soon.
Yeah, actually, right now we've got the Commercial Grain Show, the Westland Commercial Grain Show, of which our percent oil competition. The deadline for that is like tomorrow, Friday, October 22nd. So we need to have your samples in for the canola for Friday. All the rest of the grains, including the organics or any of the other commercial grain, is Friday, October 29th at 4:30. And the pedigreed seed actually is the same thing for all the samples for the pedigreed seed. We need them by Friday, October 29th at 4:30.
How do producers go about getting their entries submitted in time?
That is a great question. Actually, if they deliver them to the Yorkton Exhibition, would be great. They could also, depending on the time frame, they could give me a call and I could pick them up, which is a lot of the stuff that I do right now. I run around picking. In fact, that's where I'm heading right now, is to go out and get some grain samples. But we will come and pick them up if we have the time frame. But if they're in Yorkton, they just bring them to the Yorkton Exhibition and they drop them off there. That's how they can enter them for sure.
Should they do the paperwork ahead of time?
If they've got the samples, we can do the paperwork there. But if they can do the paperwork ahead of time, it'll save us. But we can definitely do it at the office, too. Not a problem.
Is there any entry fee?
Yes. For the commercial grain, there's a $5 entry for all of the samples except for the percent oil. There is no cost for the percent oil competition. And for the pedigreed seed from the seed growers, there is no cost for their entries at all.
Have you been getting many entries at all yet?
Actually, yeah. We're surprised. We're getting few all every day. There's quite a few coming in. There is some that we always get way more than others, like the canola and the wheat, and we've got bits with barley. But anybody got any malt barley? We need malt barley samples. We could use soybean. Anybody got any faba beans? Those are some that we're trying to get some extra samples in for those classes too.
However, the deadline for the forage show has already passed, right?
Yeah, the forage, it was already last weekend. And we've already sent the samples off for testing. So the awards will be happening on Thursday, the November 4th. So that's when the awards evening is. So anybody will be called if they're a winner. And anybody that's interested in coming down for Thursday for the Grain Show Awards evening. That would be great. They're more than welcome to come down. And we've got AgriTactics and Northern Vigor sponsoring our entertainment, Quick Dick McDick, that night.
And these competitions will go ahead even if the pandemic causes some issues?
As far as I know, yes, it's all a go, and we're going to continue that. We have made a few changes with the awards evening. It will be down at the Prairie Oyster Barn Grill. It'll be on the south end of the building. We're going to be having it, well, in the whole building, I guess I should say. Just due to logistics, we think it'll be a lot easier having everything down there. And then people from over in Breeders' Alley can come on over when everything's done, and everybody can have the entertainer right there at the Prairie Oyster Barn Grill.
Kathy Pearson is the chair of the Commercial Grain Show, the Pedigreed Seed Show, and the Forage Show at Harvest Showdown in Yorkton, which runs from November 3rd to the 6th. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of Peebles Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
GX94, Ag Review.
With good gains from other edible oils, canola has remained on the rise so far during the week. However, it was trading down this morning. It's uncertain as to how much longer the rally will press on, but analyst David Derwin of PI Financial in Winnipeg says canola punching through $1,000 per metric ton again is possible. Canola has caught a good amount of spillover from the soy complex on the Chicago Board of Trade, particularly soy oil. More support has been coming from significant increases in European rapeseed and Malaysian palm oil, of which both have hit new contract highs recently. Besides comparable oils, the Canadian oil seed has also been getting support from its tight supply situation and a marked downturn in production on the prairies this year. Derwin notes that buyers are grabbing whatever canola they can get their hands on. U.S. farmers are pre-buying seeds and chemicals they need earlier than normal in a bid to secure supplies for next spring amid sector-wide supply chain problems. Bayer also estimates its average seed prices will go up about 5% for 2022. U.S. farmers have been gearing up for a spike in how much it will cost them to produce their corn and soybean crops next year amid rising prices of fertilizer, chemicals, and seeds due to labor issues, snarled exports, and surging demand. Bayer sees no impact on its full-year guidance from customers changing planting habits or a five-week shutdown at its main glyphosate herbicide production site in Louisiana after Hurricane Ida. Bayer had to close the Louisiana factory after the hurricane slammed the Gulf Coast in late August, further complicating logistical and supply chain problems that had already tightened global supplies of fertilizers and chemicals. Prices in the fertilizer market, which also has been hammered by rising energy costs in Europe and China, are now soaring to levels seen during the global financial crisis. Farmers need more space to grow crops to meet mounting demand for food and renewable fuel at a time of slowing growth in yields. That's according to Ag Resource. A renewable fuel push under U.S. President Joe Biden's climate agenda is set to trigger a boom in soy oil use, reinforcing a worldwide picture of rising consumption of staple crops driven by China. At the same time, combined global yields of major grain crops appear to have leveled out in the past 5 years. However, U.S. planted acreage may have reached a ceiling, as further cropland growth would need to occur primarily in South America, Africa, and the Black Sea region. For renewable diesel, U.S. production capacity is set to double in the coming year, as over 1 billion gallons in capacity comes on stream. With U.S. states barring companies from using imported feedstocks for such fuel, that could, in theory, create the need for an additional 40 million acres of soybean plantings in the United States. In China, demand for livestock feed, partly due to a rebuilding of the country's pig herd after a disease epidemic, has supported record grain imports. Ag Resource estimates Chinese imports of feed grains reached nearly 54 million metric tons in 2020, or about one in every 4 tons of feed grain traded worldwide, and will rise to a new record of almost 57 million metric tons in 2021. The White House says it has not ruled out a carbon tax as a possible option for fighting climate change, even though U.S. Senator Joe Manchin, a critical holdout in the closely divided Senate, said he was not discussing the topic in talks about U.S. spending and infrastructure bills. Some Democrats, including Senator Ron Wyden, have focused on a carbon tax as a possible alternative, as Manchin opposes a key measure in the spending bill called the Clean Energy Payment Program. That measure, which would reward power utilities for investing in renewable energy such as wind and solar, and fine those who do not, has been backed by Biden to achieve his climate goals, including cutting U.S. emissions by about 50% by 2030 compared to 2005 levels, but is effectively dead. Manchin indicated a carbon tax was not in play. He says it's Manchin, a fellow Democrat, is a centrist from West Virginia, the top U.S. coal-producing state after Wyoming. Under U.S. carbon tax, the government sets a gradually rising price for each ton of greenhouse gas that polluters emit, incentivizing industries to move to cleaner energy sources. And Australia is forecast to harvest a record canola crop of more than 5 million metric tons this year. This is being attributed to ideal growing conditions and a higher canola acreage. Australian farmers grew more canola in response to China imposing an 80% tariff on Aussie barley exports. The Australian canola crop is being harvested right now, and some growers have already started forward selling next year's crop. The amount of land seeded to barley this year dropped between 10 and 15%. And that's the Ag Review portion of our program. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return right after this. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Faulkner. It's mainly sunny and plus 3 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. Grain and oilseed prices are at record or near-record levels due to strong demand and lower supply from drought. Alan Johnston at Johnston's Grain Marketing in Welwyn says flax has reached $50 a bushel.
Everything is just very much on fire. The markets are just incredible prices I've never seen before in my 35 years of doing this business. So that tells you the history of this. It's never been like this ever before. You got lentils, you know, in those high 50s, 60 cent ranges, you know. And that varies every day, so you just have to check in to see what's going on. Canary seeds, 50, 51 cents. It's just, like, all the lentils are very, very strong. So it's just, yeah, it's hard to even put a number on it because whatever I say today might be just another cent or two higher or more, or even later today. It's just, that's the way it's been going here now for weeks and months.
And flax is through the roof right now.
Well, brown flax, if you can wait till spring to move it, we can get $50 picked up. That's, you know, April, May, June, those kind of time periods. If you want to move it sooner, it's still incredible prices in that $42, $43 level. You get into like yellow flax, and there it's in the, you know, the mid to higher 50s range. And again, subject to the time that you want to move it, but strong, strong demand, and we're moving product every day, every day. In fact, we're getting companies phoning us and booking stuff with other companies. They don't have these markets, so they're phoning us, and we booked about 3,500 tons with one company and sold it to two or three other different companies for them just because we have the connection. We know who wants it. And very strong. Canola is extremely strong, $21, $22. And I'm talking farm bids. These aren't delivered somewhere to some of the elevators. You get into the, maybe getting ahead of here, but you get into the wheat and barley and the pea grains, and that barley is $8.50, $8.75 picked up, if you can imagine, in lots of, to subject to freight areas, but in lots of areas. I phoned one of the terminals yesterday, and they're paying $11.50 for wheat. We've got bids in that $10.50 to $11 range, but $11.50 picked up. We don't have right now, unless we've got it this morning. I'm not in the office right now when you phone me, but things change so fast. Like I said, oats are incredibly high, and that's $7 plus range. lots of interest in rye. It doesn't matter what you're growing, what you've got to sell, it will be a very strong market like you've never seen before. And there's, believe it or not, there's some people out there that have some crops and some decent crops. And no bumper crops this year, but some areas got some rain where other guys didn't get it, and they've got some crop to sell. We've got, like, down in the southeast corner here, there's decent amount of grain laying around. And I drove to Regina on Monday, and I just saw nothing. Grain bags everywhere. It's just full of grain, and a lot of guys are hanging on. They think this stuff is going to go higher, so I certainly wouldn't want to argue with them today.
Did you ever think you would see $50 per bushel flax?
Well, I was pretty excited when it got up to $20 there a while ago. I thought that was incredible. I remember when I started farming back in 74, I grew some flax and I got $13.50. It was a really freak year. And I grew a bunch of sloughs. You'll find this interesting. Seeded all our crop, and then there were some sloughs left. My father said, well, go out and sow those sloughs to flax. And I thought he was maybe a little bit off his rocker. And anyway, we did it. I got enough flax off my sloughs and my land to fill a 3-ton truck. And I sold it, and I got enough money to buy a brand new half-ton truck with a 3-ton truck load of flax. You can't even do that today.
Alan Johnston operates Johnston's Grain Marketing Service in Wilwyn. It's time now for the livestock market conditions and their presentation of Heartland Livestock in Yorkton.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for December closed at $129.55 today. That's down 97. February live cattle closed at $134.77, down 82. November feeder cattle closed at $159.07, down 27. January feeder cattle closed at $160.00, down 47. December lean hogs closed at $73.20, down $2.82. February lean hogs closed at $76.67, down $2.55. And that's the livestock market conditions. Now it's time for the Heartland Livestock Report from Yorkton.
Good afternoon. This is the Yorkton Heartland Livestock. Have a good day.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. Soil moisture is still described as very dry in many parts of the Saskatchewan Grain Belt. The Provincial Crops Extension Specialist, Matt Struthers, says most of the province needs a good soaking rain before freeze-up in November.
I describe them as lower than I'd like to see. We've had some small rains and some wet snow in the last week and a bit, so that's helped. But we certainly need a lot more before the ground freezes up and we get a dump of snow. It'd be really nice to get the ground saturated with some moisture and then freeze up and have that ready for next spring. So we certainly need more, and I'm hoping we get it before it gets too cold on us.
So some fall rain and good winter snow cover would help with spring runoff.
Oh yeah, certainly. I would love to see a lot of snow this winter, and I would love to see the dugouts and the creeks and sloughs fill up from runoff. We certainly need it.
How low are the province's sloughs and dugouts?
They're really dry. They're dry all summer long, and I think everyone knows that there's some water quantity and quality issues, especially for livestock producers. They had to haul water many, many miles for the cattle. So they just didn't get that runoff from last winter during the spring. And so we certainly need a good dump of snow to help them out. They need to just get a little break from it being so dry.
Has there been much winter wheat and fall rye planted this fall?
Lower than normal years. It was so dry that a lot of producers were worried about germination before freeze up. But those that did seed, they did see some spotty germination. And then, the stuff that didn't come up, hopefully it'll imbibe enough water before freeze up. And then next spring it'll come up and just be a little bit later. Certainly there was a small decrease in winter cereal acres just due to the dryness and the concern about germination.
And what are your thoughts on seeding intentions for next spring?
I'm certain that producers are looking at that very cautiously. There's a lot of things to consider. Prices are quite high for a lot of things, and so that'll change some minds. And then there's also the issue with just drought in general. Is it going to carry over to next year? And then, of course, there's concerns about herbicide carryover as well. So that'll restrict what crops can follow on certain fields and depending on the herbicides used. So there's a lot of things for producers to think about and consider, and it might change some of their plans.
The top soil moisture rating this month was described as 12% adequate, 43% short, and 45% very short. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return in 1 minute's time. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. Officials with Red Leaf Pulp are happy with farm response to public meetings on the proposed $350 million straw-based pulp mill in Regina. Meetings were held earlier this month in Milestone, Indian Head, and Pence. Officials want to secure straw supply for the plant through non-binding letters of intent, with Red Leaf needing 300,000 metric tons of wheat and durum straw per year. The waste straw would be turned into items like paper towels, tissue, and cardboard. The director of fiber procurement for Red Leaf Pulp, Joe Hintz, says farmers committed about 100,000 metric tons so far in non-binding letters of intent.
Turnout was okay. No doubt there was a little bit of activity yet happening in the field, so that affected the attendance somewhat. But overall, you know, very good questions, very good support indicated for the project. We did sign some letters of intent with growers as well, too. And, you know, that piece of the project, the support has come together quite nicely for it. So it's nice to see.
Can you outline what kind of support you had in those letters of intent?
Yeah, we've had some good tonnage amounts coming our way as far as support. As of right now, we're approximately one-third of the annual required tonnage signed up on letters of intent. So we're quite happy with that. Obviously, a little ways yet to go yet for the project. But, you know, considering the year, we're quite happy with the initial start that we have so far.
So you think the drought had an impact?
For sure. Drought is actually on the minds of a lot of growers, naturally, of course. And, of course, you know, drought will have an impact on our project as well. But with that, it is nice to experience, I guess, the implications of that now, so that we know how that's going to affect our project. And overall, it's not going to be detrimental to the project at all. We know, which is kind of nice to have that realization right now as well, too, before we go ahead and start building and planning.
What are your goals going forward?
Going forward, we'll continue to reach out to growers that are interested in supporting the project with straw sales and meet with them. We have engaged some other entities as well, too, to help us on that behalf. So growers will be hearing from them in the near future as well. And we'll just continue to network and communicate with growers that are interested in being partners with us going forward and continue to meet with them.
How wide of an area around Regina do you hope to get straw from?
Ideally, within about 130 to 150 kilometer radius. We've determined that we only need approximately 10 to 15% of the straw from those acres within that radius. So we feel very comfortable that we'll be able to get the straw we need within that radius. However, on years that we've just experienced, if we need to stretch out a little further radius in order to obtain our biomass that we need, it's logistically friendly to do so. We feel quite comfortable if we have to stretch out a little bit further in order to meet those needs in drier years, for sure.
Have you scheduled any more meetings in the area to gauge interest?
Lots of one-on-one farm meetings with individual growers that have reached out that are interested in supplying to the project. So that's the course and the path that we're going to take going forward currently. Later on in the fall, we may have some additional public engagement meetings. We'll definitely make you aware of when those meetings are and let the general public know when those meetings are being held as well, too.
So are you pleased with the results you've had so far?
Somewhat pleased with the results that we've seen so far. Of course, we would have liked to have seen a little bit better results. However, quite content with where we are to date. Of course, still reaching out to continue to grow the amount on letters of intent and to increase the amount of straw available for our project. So, for sure.
Joe Hinz is the director of fiber procurement for the $350 million waste straw pulp mill in Regina. Construction will begin next year, with the project completed in 2023. It's time now for your commodities update, and that's a presentation of Ray Nordine, your RE/MAX Bridge City Realty agent.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures closed down across the board today. November canola closed at $9.3740, down $11.90. January canola closed at $9.2740, down $17.20. December Minneapolis wheat closed at $9.85 and a quarter, down 4.5 cents. December Kansas City wheat closed at $7.47 and three quarters, down 12 cents. December Chicago wheat closed at $7.41 and a quarter, down 8 cents. December corn closed at $5.32 and a quarter, down 7 cents. November soybeans closed at $12.24 per bushel, down 21 and a half cents. December oats closed at $6.60 per bushel, down 7 cents. And that's the commodities update. Well, as you may have heard on the program yesterday, the RCMP would like to reduce the number of thefts occurring on Saskatchewan farms. We spoke to RCMP Staff Sergeant Devin Pugh.
So anything that's, I always refer to them as attractive items, so things that can be converted to a profit fairly easily. So when I talk about that, tools are a big one. Every tractor combine will likely have a small tool kit on the outside of the tractor or even inside. Those tools can be converted into profit fairly easily. The other items are more, the bigger, more expensive items are, GPS displays, GPS systems and complete are some of the more attractive items that we see more often getting stolen.
He talks about making the farmyard more secure from thieves.
One of the big ones is lighting. If motion sensor lights are a big deterrent. Obviously, when you're talking about thieves, they obviously like to work under the cover of darkness and to be not detected easily. So if we take that away from them, especially with the motion sensor lights, that's a big deterrent. The other real tool that I like to see is trail cameras. Trail cameras can be purchased fairly inexpensively and put up, and they're a very easy thing to introduce as far as a security system, taking photos of people that are in and around the property.
He also advises keeping detailed records of equipment and property, everything from photos to serial numbers.
It's really important when people are reporting stolen items to have some sort of identifiable description of them. So, if we talk about GPS units, the serial number that's attached to them is very important to be able to record. And then just a simple description, if there's any identifiable markings on, let's say, tools or hand tools, that's something that's really important to provide to the police. So we often come across, or we'll do an investigation and reveal a lot of what we believe to be stolen property. And sometimes it's difficult to find the owners. So if they have the identifiable markings, it's just that much easier to get it back to the rightful owners.
So that would occur when you conduct a raid and find a large amount of stolen equipment?
Exactly. Or if we do come across people that we believe or we have suspicion that the property is in their possession and is stolen, it's just that much easier to be able to say, yes, we know it's stolen because serial number matches the description of the stolen property that was reported to us.
Is there a place in the RCMP database to store all of these serial numbers and photos?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's right across Canada. Every police service in Canada has access to it. And we record stolen items in the system where it can be quickly and easily cross-referenced. And as long as we do have, again, it's important to record those serial numbers so that they can be added to that system.
Pugh says it's important to report all thefts, no matter how small.
It's the only way that we can keep track of trends and areas where we need to focus in on if there's a higher prevalence of thefts. So again, it's just so important to please report whatever it is, even the small thefts off the farm, to us. We just recently started a online reporting system. So if the value of the property is under $5,000,
you can simply report the theft directly on the internet. And you don't never have to even go into the police detachment or station or call the police service.
So producers would just upload their photos and serial numbers to that site?
Exactly. It's a very easy system to go onto, and all you need to do is just if with the RCMP is go on to the Saskatchewan RCMP website, and you'll find the link to the online crime reporting section.
And that would save a lot of legwork for the RCMP as well.
It does two things. Obviously, it saves some police officer hours to collect the information, but it also provides convenience to the person reporting. And the whole goal with that system is to promote people to report the crimes. The last thing we want is a trend or a high prevalence of theft in an area that we don't know about. And sometimes that does happen.
That's Staff Sergeant Devin Pugh with the Saskatchewan RCMP. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return in 1 minute's time.
Farm Bulletin Board.
The Grain Millers 32nd Annual Harvest Showdown is coming up in Yorkton. There will be free admission. There's a trade show, a grain show, and a cattle show. It'll include chore team competition, a horsepower showcase, Breeders' Alley, Futurity Heifer Show, Commercial Cattle Show and Sale, a Country Craft and Trade Show, Commercial Grain Show, Forage Show, Pedigreed Seed Show, Exotic Animal Sale. There will be horse pulls, a stock dog competition, school tours, a 4-H clinic, a ranch rodeo, and of course PBR. That's coming up November 3rd through the 6th at the Gallagher Center here in Yorkton. And of course, if you want more information on it, simply call 783-4800 or go to www.yorktonexhibition.com. And that's all the time we have for today's Farm Bulletin Board. It's now nearly 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. Time to check the GX94 Precision Weather Forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Partly sunny, winds southeast at 15 to 25, and a high of 5 degrees. For tonight, a few clouds, winds east at 10 to 20, and a low of minus 6. For tomorrow, sunny, winds east-southeast at 15 to 25, and a high of plus 6. For Saturday, partly to mainly sunny, winds southeast at 25, gusting to 45, a high of plus 7. Sunday, mainly cloudy with a 40% chance of rain or wet snow, a high of plus 4. And Monday, partly sunny, a high of plus 8. In the Paw, it's 2 degrees. Swan River is at 4, Dauphin 5. Brandon, Show Lake, Russell, Roblin, and Regina all reporting in at 3. Saskatoon, Hudson Bay, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, 4. The Yorkton-Melville region has a mainly sunny sky, a south-southeast wind at 17 kilometers an hour. 68% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 3 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
CJGX, serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.